Shabbat Shalom and Chag Sameach Purim. I want to start by saying that I asked Rachel if I could do the V'ahavta, the Vayehi, but she told me that Thor and DJ were doing that. So Rachel responded and she needed help during another part of the service, and I was like, okay. So she said she needed help with the message, and I was like, the talent show has a message? And Rachel responded, no, the Shabbat service. So I guess the talent show starts a day early. I once was discussing scripture with a good friend of mine, and the book of Esther came up in the discussion. I forgot the details of why Esther came up, but I do remember the nature of the comment. Esther was marginally a canonical book. I was kind of put aside by that comment and responded that that's the book that we get the Feast of Purim. Now there can be a whole message about the themes of Esther and how it's a quintessential book and reasonably canonical. But I suggest you listen to Rabbi's message from last night for more on that line of thought. But today, I will focus on one of the themes, that Adonai always saves his people. Unfortunately, the Jewish people have always faced enemies who wanted to kill them. For example, we read in Exodus 14, but Moses said to the people, do not be afraid, stand still, see the salvation of Adonai, which he will perform for you today. You have seen the Egyptians today, but you will never see them again, ever. Adonai will fight for you while you hold your peace. Again, we read in 2 Chronicles 20 at verse 15 about Jehoshaphat and his prayer to Adonai for deliverance from the alliance of the Ammonites, the Moabites, and the Edomites that has amassed that Engedi in an attempt to attack Jerusalem and Judah. Listen all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat. Thus Adonai says to you, do not be afraid or dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Amen. And again, the prophet Isaiah reassured King Hezekiah that King Sennacherib and the Assyrian army will fail in their siege of Jerusalem in 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 6. Thus you will say to your master, thus saith Adonai, do not be afraid of the words you have heard with which the men of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I am putting a spirit in him, and he will hear a rumor and return to his own country. Then I will make him fall by the sword in his own land. We read more in Isaiah 37 at verse 33 that the king of Assyria will not come to the city. It is a declaration of Adonai. For I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. God keeps assuring the Jewish people not to be afraid, to not be afraid of their enemies. Just from those few passages, we see that the Jewish people have a reoccurring problem, a reoccurring problem of people trying to kill them. But every time their enemies attempt to wipe them out, the Lord saves his people. We can continue and study all the themes We can continue and study all the times the Lord has saved his people throughout the book of Judges, or how he moved through Samuel, King Saul, and King David, or the many times the Lord moved through the kingdom period, like when he saved Judah during the reign of King Asa from the attack of the Ethiopians and the Cushites. Every time Israel was in trouble, the Lord at least saved a remnant. So in the book of Esther, Mordecai knew God would preserve Israel once again. This threat, set in motion by Haman, did not come from a new enemy of the Jews, but from an old and reoccurring threat, the Amalekites. Now, please humor me for a moment. Every time I say Amalek or Amalekite, you boo. The first attempt of the children of Amalek to destroy the children of Israel was mentioned in Deuteronomy 25. Remember that Amalek did to you along the way as you came out from Egypt. Now he happened upon you along the way and attacked those among you in the rear, all the stragglers behind you. When you were tired and weary, he did not fear God. During the reign of King Saul, Adonai told Samuel to have King Saul deal with the Amalekites once and for all. But Saul allowed a remnant, including the king Agag, to live. Amalek and his descendants continued to be a menace throughout King Saul's reign, eventually attacking Ziklag and kidnapping the women and the children of David and his mighty men. The Lord made a way for David to recover his people, as recorded in 1 Samuel 30, David strengthened himself in Adonai his God. In an article titled, Israel's War with Hamas and the Spirit of Amalek, One for Israel states, later the book of Esther tells us, while the Jewish people were in exile in Babylon, another descendant of Amalek, named Haman, contrived yet another plot to annihilate the Jewish people. One for Israel asserts that we are not dealing with flesh and blood here. Now you see why I was telling you to boo Amalek. When we boo Haman, we're really booing Amalek. The Amalekites and the other enemies determined to destroy the Jewish people seems to be more than a conflict between nations and people groups. It seems to be very spiritual. Ephesians 6:12 states, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. It is sometimes hard to understand why bad things happen. Sometimes bad things happen as a result of our bad behavior. Adonai chastised those he loved so that they can become better people. Sometimes bad things happen because of happenstance. Remember when the Amalekites attacked the Israelites as they were traveling within the wilderness? They were just minding their own business, and blammo, here comes the Amalekite attacking from the rear. It's unfortunate, but sometimes people do bad things because they are bad or falling people. We do not allow that to discourage us, because we know that God is in control, even in bad times. Sometimes Adonai uses bad or wicked people to test us. Even Yeshua was allowed by God to be tempted by HaShatan. We read in the Good News of Mark chapter 1 that in that instant, the Ruach Elohim drove him into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan, and he was with wild beasts, and the angels were taking care of him. As we read, Yeshua did not allow the enemy, HaShatan, to win the battle, and through faith, Adonai provided for Yeshua's safety and protection. God, in his almighty wisdom, also raised up nations for his purposes. Adonai raised up Israel and the Jewish people so that he can deliver us the Messiah, the Savior from our enemies. God also raises up nations to test his people. In Judges chapter 2, verse 1, the angel of Adonai came up, and he said, I brought you up out of Egypt and took you into the land which I swore to your fathers. I also said, I will never break my covenant with you, but you have not listened to my voice. Therefore, I also said, these nations will be a thorn in your sides, and their gods will be a snare unto you. God allowed these nations and their cultures to tempt and test the children of Israel. When they became friends with them and started dwelling with them, they began to act like them and perform the acts that they did that were offensive to God. Sometimes Israel would also get into fights with their friends and the other nations, but because they were more necessarily wicked or evil, but because of sin. Even today, we struggle with ourselves and our neighbors because of sin. The worst thing is that we struggle against God because of sin. In the story of Purim, the bad guy, the wicked Haman, allowed himself to sin because of his feelings of being disrespected by Mordecai. Instead of seeking reconciliation, Haman instead came up with an attempt to commit genocide against the Jewish people. On the other hand, Adonai used Mordecai and Esther's faith and obedience to save the Jewish people. Today we celebrate Purim in remembrance of when the Jews got relief from their enemies. We who follow Messiah celebrate also that Yeshua, through his perfect sacrifice, made a way for us to gain victory over our greatest enemy, sin. The scripture says in Psalm 110:1, Adonai declares to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. We know from the good news and the letter to the Hebrews that Yeshua is Lord, is the Lord that David wrote about, that Adonai will have sit at his right hand and make his enemy a footstool. We discover while reading Revelation 20 that Yeshua has the ultimate victory over sin, death, hell, and the oldest of all recurring enemies, Hasatan. Let me not be remiss and forget to stress that the enemy, that is Satan, has attempted to repeatedly use people's sin to destroy the Jewish people to prove God a liar. For God has promised and explained by Paul, a fellow member of the tribe of Benjamin, like Mordecai and Esther in Romans 11, that in this way all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer, Yeshua, shall come out of Zion. He, Yeshua, shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. And this is my covenant in Yeshua's blood with them when I take away their sins. You see, Yeshua has already gained the victory over our recurring enemies through his blood given as a perfect sacrifice. Amen. Now let's do our part and fight the good fight of faith and obedience in the spiritual battle, just like the Jewish people did all those years ago during the first Purim. The way to start is to put our faith in the one who is able. Believe Yeshua is able to save, turn away from sin and doubt, and place your faith in the God of Israel and be delivered from our enemies. Shabbat shalom. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray, Lord, that this day, Lord, that we remember that God is able to save, Lord, and that God always will save and preserve his people, Lord. And Lord, we just need to be faithful to him and do what we need to do that the Lord set in front of us to do. And these things the Lord will deliver us and save us in Yeshua's name.